John Gambling with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Hello, everybody. Welcome aboard and good morning. It is the Friday get-together here with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Sir, good morning.
Good morning. Weather's clearing. Last night's scary. Tragic one.
Absolutely. Yeah, but a lot of wood around.
I talked to some people. One guy, his car was just totally trashed. He got out okay. He was shaking. He was holding his kids. The kids were in the car with him. Then another one, his car was damaged, but he was okay. But there are lots of stories of people who came very close to being hit by a big tree and killed, but fortunately it was only one, and that one's really tragic. You
know? I think what is demonstrated by the storms of yesterday, and it was a number of storms, it was one singular front, but it kicked off a number of storms which seemingly appear to be tornadoes, but the quickness with which a disaster or serious damage can take place.
Storms like hurricanes are big.
And you got warning.
Plenty of warning. You can see them coming for a long time. Thunderstorms can pop up any place. It can be, if you look at a radar, no storm, all of a sudden there is a storm. And thunderstorms are very localized. I remember a couple of years ago, we had a storm come across 79th Street. I remember looking out the window where I live, and you could see, you know, it's an enormous storm. And a few blocks north and south, nothing. And that one came through Central Park, and then I remember going to an event, took down a whole bunch of trees. Our park suffered yesterday. Number of the parks lost lots of trees. Now, again, it's natural. When trees get older, that's nature's way of taking them out, and new ones grow in, but nevertheless.
Who takes care of the cleanup? Who's in charge? Everybody? I mean, sanitation?
Sanitation, parks department. I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of things. A lot of private contractors do it. And if it falls on your property, it's yours. If it's on the street, it's the city's responsibility. And you get to them as fast as you can. And the bad news is when trees come down, they take down power lines, taking people out of the electric grid. The good news is it's easy to see them. And so Con Ed, when they get there, can fix them very quickly. If you have problems with a line underground, like a fire in a manhole, that's a lot harder for Con Ed to fix, takes a lot longer. The good news is that there are very few of those, whereas trees coming down and taking down power lines, you know, in Eastern Queens and on Staten Island where all the lines are above ground, that happens all the time.
I know one of your concerns and your Office of Emergency Management's concern are hurricanes. We have two very large hurricanes in the Atlantic right at the moment, not anticipated to come anywhere close.
No, it's near us. But having said that, this weekend the tides and the riptides are going to be really dangerous.
9-foot waves there today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the surfers say this is great, but and maybe they can handle it, but the average person, you know, you're going wading and all of a sudden one wave takes you out, then you really have to struggle.
All right, as you said, with the hurricane, you've got lots of warning. We saw the one recently where, you know, LIPA made some decisions on bringing extra crews in. Cost a lot of money. Nothing to happen. That's just the name of the game. It's part of the game.
You know,
damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Think about your insurance company. Wouldn't the most wonderful thing in the world be 50 years from now, your life insurance company, the board of directors is sitting around laughing at John Gambling. That guy, he's so dumb. He's been paying us premiums for 50 years more than he was supposed to live. You know, boy, are we beating him. Yes, you always want your life insurance company to win.
Exactly so. Now, but having said that, I know that you and OEM have done a whole lot of work on this, and you've got all sorts of scenarios. We saw yesterday with just this storm, virtually the Long Island Railroad was shut down. People are stuck. They can't go. They can't move. Hurricane could be even worse than that. Are there plans to evacuate New York City under the right circumstance?
You know, it's interesting. In Long Island, it's conceivable you would want to evacuate a large number of people.
Away from the ocean, obviously.
And maybe even off the island if you had to do it. So if you had to do it, they would all have to come through New York City. And yes, we have role-played that, and we know roughly what to do. There's no easy answer if you have millions of people trying. They just can't get through very quickly. And, you know, you look at rush hour on a Friday night.
Look what happened last night during
rush hour. Last night, I mean, I was at one event. I gave a speech. Had to go to give another one. I could not get to the second place. Every single street we turned, there were trees down. You just power lines down. You can't drive a car over a power line. You just literally can't get through. If you generally in New York City, we would want to move people away from the coasts, away from the low-lying areas, and we have schools with beds and water and blankets. We have people who volunteered to come in and help. The fire department is going to go and they'll remove people from seniors' homes, and the police will search houses. I mean, everybody's got a job, and we've all sat around and practiced on a weekend and talked about it. And yeah, I'm sure there'd be some snafus, but I think we're as ready as you can be.
So you
think that you never know. Whatever happens is not exactly what you're planning for.
At least on a limited basis, you could have calls for evacuation from limited areas.
Absolutely. If you thought there was an enormous storm hitting, you know, there's parts of Staten Island and Southeast Queens where you really would want to move people away.
The question is, where do you go to?
That's exactly right, and we know exactly where. We can tell you exactly which schools and what make sure the supplies are there. In New Orleans, they never had plans. We have plans. Will they work perfectly? Nothing works perfectly, but yes. So your question is, where will they go to? I can tell you. Joe is going to go to this place, and Sally's going to go to that place.
Police and fire, obviously, responding in yesterday and
the
places they had to be.
Absolutely. That's why we have a big, well-trained police department, big, well-trained fire department. And they do things other than just arrest bad guys and put out fires. I mean, then they surprise, they deal with lots of different emergencies. Crowd control and, you know, if a line's down, the cops have to keep people away until Con Ed can show up. People need rescue. I'm in a car or, you know, in a house where the tree has come down on it. Also, when you have storms like this, there's always the danger of a gas line and, or electric, more likely an electric line starting a fire.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's take a break right here. When we come back, we'll talk about something else that created somewhat of a stir for some people. You recall about banning smoking out in the streets. We'll get into that in just a little bit, 16 minutes after 8 o'clock.
John Gambling and Mayor Mike, News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
21 minutes after 8 o'clock. Don't forget, you get to ask the mayor some questions. Go up to the end here, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710.
One of the questions they're going to want to ask, my school's open. And I forgot to say, I promised you I would tell you.
Today.
One school is closed, John Bown High School in Flushing, because it really was damaged.
I hadn't even thought about that.
All the other schools are open. There were 100 without power, but as of an hour ago, they were down to 8 without power. So the schools are open. Sorry, kids, if you're looking for a day off.
Got started less than a week ago.
Right. City buildings are all open. When I got updated about an hour ago, there were 25,000 people without power, mostly in Queens. But you know, when they fix one line, lots of people come back, so that should go down pretty quickly, that number.
With all of the trees that out in Middle Village and other places in Queens that have come down along the road, will the city on some sort of program replace those?
Yeah, I mean, we replace them, and a lot of them are trees. The biggest place trees come down are in parks where a lot of them just grow in. I mean, it's nature's way of. One of the things that's interesting in nature is we are having worse forest fires because we put out forest fires. What you, in theory, should do is let forest fires burn themselves out because it gets rid of the scrub underneath and the big trees survive it. Otherwise, you get so much of the crap on the ground that the fires are so hot it kills the big trees. Anyways, that's a segue to fire, smoke.
Smoking.
And
your suggestion, you're getting good at this, your suggestion.
I've 9 years with you if I can't do that.
Yes. Smoking should be banned not only in restaurants and bars, but in beaches, parks.
Well, a lot of people don't like sitting next to somebody who's smoking, and they don't like, which incidentally is Tom Friedman's with a Friedman, yes, well, Foley. Friedman was the last guy. Friedman's the columnist, and Foley's the one we have now. I picked Tom Foley because we didn't have to change the monograms on the towels. Tom Friedman
with the
Tom F. Foley with the right. And a lot of people, all kidding aside, don't like all the butts and cigarette and the beach and everything. Tom, you want to talk about this a little bit?
Yeah, well, good to see you, Tom. Nice to have you here.
Yeah, good morning.
Charlie.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we know is if you're within just a few feet of a smoker, that you can get levels of smoke that you're breathing in that are as high as it would be if you were indoors with a
smoker. You're talking to somebody in the same pew as you on this one, because I get annoyed at people smoking in their car because the smoke will come out of the car, and if you're behind it, you'll be able to smell it.
Yeah, you think about what they're doing themselves.
Well, I
think they have kids there. That really is the worst.
Yeah, and smoke is a known cancer-causing chemical. It also causes heart disease, so it's a major cause of health problems. We also know that 57% of New Yorkers have a chemical in their body called cotinine, which says that they've been exposed to secondhand smoke. This is after we passed the ban on smoking indoors. And so people are being exposed somewhere. A lot of people are being exposed somewhere.
What does that bad? That sounds bad to have in your bloodstream.
It is bad to have in your bloodstream. It's just a marker of exposure to the nicotine in the smoke, but also that means you've got enough that you probably got some damage to your lung cells. There's increasing evidence of that. And so, you know, this is something which we don't want to have in a park, which is supposed to be a healthy place for people to go and get some fresh air.
Yeah, one would think so. This would apply as well to pedestrian malls?
Pedestrian malls are really parks in the context of what you're talking about. But having said that, walking down the street and on the sidewalk, no, you can smoke. You know, I think you're crazy.
I have
if you
to
do.
Ask you the question why. What's the difference?
Well, that partially is just the political reality of, you know, look, I think government has a responsibility to educate you about your health and to protect you in the workplace or in the schools or in public facilities. But I also think that if you want to do something that is self-destructive and it's not hurting anybody else, you know, I'm not sure I believe that it's government's job to prevent you from doing that. I do think we have an obligation to educate you that it is bad for you. Now, you know, the thing with smoking is, if you're anywhere remotely close to somebody else, you're not just doing damage to yourself, you're doing damage to them. And that is why I think the government does have a responsibility and a right to come in. And there are people who think the government shouldn't do any of the stuff, that people want to smoke, kill themselves, fine. But if you think about the workplace, our prohibition on smoking in bars, restaurants, office buildings, that sort of thing, is because it's a workplace. And if you have an American Legion post where nobody works, they're the people serving the food and booze of volunteers, the law does not apply to that. You can smoke in an American Legion hall, but you can't smoke in a restaurant that employs that pays the waiters and waitresses and bartenders and chefs.
We talked about this earlier this week, as you might imagine, and the question of those that stand outside in front of buildings all the time,
but,
as you walk,
you know,
by.
But people keep telling me this, there are a lot fewer standing outside, and when you walk by, you see them, they take the cigarette and put it behind them.
Well, I know. I feel sorry for them, to be honest.
I don't feel sorry for them, but they know it's embarrassing. We have slowly the ethics, the mores are changing. And that's good, because maybe these people will stop smoking and they'll live longer. Life expectancy in New York City has increased by 1 year, 7 months over the last 8 years. It is higher than the country as a whole. And a lot of that is because of the smoking ban.
All right, and yet we are fighting hard and fast to collect the taxes on the cigarettes, which is sort of an ironic situation.
Well, somebody said to me, some reporter asked me, I said, it would be wonderful if we didn't collect any money on cigarette taxes. We can find other ways to raise revenues. The purpose of cigarette taxes, while the money is nice, the purpose of cigarette taxes is to make it less desirable to smoke, particularly with teenagers. That works. Teenagers just don't have the disposable income. But we're going to go after people that sell untaxed cigarettes, like you saw the sting operation in the paper today.
Yes.
That we did on the Indian reservations. The thing that you really should question is, a lot of states, and I don't know whether New York did it, they probably did, but I'm not sure, they went ahead and bonded out all of the revenues that are projected to come from cigarette taxes down the road.
So what you're saying is it's already money spent.
It's already spent, but the real tricky thing is what happens if it doesn't come in? Then the taxpayer's going to have to reach in their pockets to pay the interest on these bonds that the when they sold them, they said, oh, don't worry about it, you won't have to, the cigarette taxes. That's not a good reason to get people to smoke.
It's like over in New Jersey where they bonded the Meadowlands, the giant stadium, which is they're still paying on the bonds.
And then the stadium Gonzo, Hinkley Field.
I think we just got nailed. Are there statistics that show that in New York and generically across the country, cigarette smoking is down?
Yes, cigarette smoking is much down in New York City. We're down about 16%, where we used to be about 21% for a decade before this administration came in. That's 350,000 fewer smokers. We're getting 1,000 fewer smoking-related deaths in New York City than we were in 2002.
Well, you know, it's extraordinary. I know a lot of people, as you say, those that smoke obviously don't like these sort of restrictions. Those that don't are probably for them. But I think, Mr. Mayor, it goes without saying that your initiative in the restaurants and the bars has been infectious in a good way around the world.
Oh, all of
countries don't even smoke.
All of Western Europe is smoke-free. It's interesting. The big cities in America, even in the tobacco-growing states, have now gone smoke-free, and nobody ever thought this would catch on at all. California actually deserves a lot of credit. They did it before we did it. And so when we were talking about it, I said, well, the experience in California is bars and restaurants make more money, do better, because they don't make any money when you smoke, but if you can't smoke, you probably eat and drink, and that's their business, and nobody listened. But once New York did it, then everybody listened. Christy Whitman, I know, she kept telling me her son would only come into bars in New York City. So, you know, she all of a sudden became a convert. She thought New Jersey would benefit from it, and she realized it wasn't going to happen. So New Jersey did. Connecticut did. The other counties around us did, because people were coming into the city. And I don't know if you saw the story today, one of the growth industries is bars and restaurants. They're all, not all, but most are doing well. New York City accounted for virtually all of the increase in jobs in the last year in New York State. And 10% of all jobs across the country were created in New York City.
That really is an extraordinary statistic.
If you calm down, you improve the schools, just clean the streets, you have an environmental agenda, you get rid of smoking, which most people like. People come here, spend money, they want to work here, they want to start businesses here. Now, we still have plenty of unemployed that we have to find jobs for, and I can't tell you every business is doing well, but the numbers are quite staggering, the percentage of growth that has occurred right here in New York City. We must be doing something right.
Tom Farley, thank you very much.
Okay.
Good to see you again. Thank you for coming in this morning. Let's take our half-hour break again. And speaking of the telephones, if you've been trying to get through, we apologize. I apologize. They've been down. They are up now. 800-321-0710 if you've got a question for the mayor. A little technical glitch there, Mr. Mayor. But we'll get
happens.
Some, yeah, it does indeed happen. 800-321-0710. Your reaction to the primary of this week?
Public is
unhappy.
I would phrase it in different ways. Public is worried. Public is petrified. They've either lost their jobs or know somebody that has or think they know somebody who's about to. Same thing with housing. They look at both parties. They see much too much partisanship. No matter who they put in office, it seems like the same old, same old. And, we're not making as much progress nationwide in schools, although I think President and Arne Duncan really are going in the right direction. We've done a great job here in New York City. Joel Klein, Dennis Walcott, and the 120,000 employees of the Department of Ed really have made a lot of progress. We have enormous ways to go, but we are going in the right direction. But that's not true in most of the rest of the country. The public can't find jobs. If you don't have the skill sets, you can't take the jobs that are available or that are going to come on stream. People are worried. They don't see. I think part of the problem is a lot of them looked at the legislative process for the first time. health care bill, stimulus bill, financial rigs, and for the first time they saw how democracy really works. There's a lot of horse trading and trial balloon floating, and bills get passed that are 2,000 pages long that nobody has read from cover to cover, and then months later we all of a sudden discover something's in it. This in the health care bill, there is a provision that every company must report to the IRS every transaction of $600 or more. Do you know how many maybe it's a bit, hundreds of millions every day? I don't know what they do with that, but it's in the bill. Now what do you do? Because you open the bill up and change that, everybody's going to say, well, I don't like this provision, that provision, and we don't need another going through. It's the process. Now, I'm sympathetic. President's trying to do what's right. Congress is trying to do what's right. Both sides of the aisle are trying to do what's right. But the public isn't happy. I think everybody would acknowledge that. And then sometimes they just say, you know, none of the above or anybody knew. And I think some of the candidates that got that won aren't perhaps the people that could carry us through. It's easy to say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but then if you have no legal authority to do it, it's just pandering to the public and
these
stirring things
governorship,
up.
Whichever
candidate whatever,
is,
whatever, whatever you
state
want.
Constitution really, I mean, it's not going
to
happen.
If there were simple solutions to the complex problems, somebody would have done it, okay? Going in, whether you're a steamroller or going to take an axe, that's just not the real world. You can't do it. Courts wouldn't let you do it. The law doesn't let you do it. The public wouldn't let you do it. I'm going to cut 20% from the budget. Yeah, well, the 20%, just make sure it's not the 20% that I benefit from. You, of course, benefit from a different 20%. We've now cut out 40%. You know, get us three other people and there's nothing you can cut. It's like if you take a look at the federal deficit. Everybody says, I'm going to cut the federal deficit. You know, the vast bulk of the federal expenditures are on entitlement programs that nobody is going to cut, and defense. And you, when you get through those, what you are left is, I think it's like $450 billion a year. It's everything else. You'd have to close down the entire government.
Well,
and you can't do that.
So what's your point?
And the point is understanding that the issue is not, you don't need extremism, because it's not going to work. Things get fixed in an evolutionary way, not a revolutionary way. And it's easy to say, I'm going to save all the money by cutting out corruption. Well, number one, your corruption is not my corruption, and vice versa. And it's a trivial amount, even to the extent it exists. Waste is a definition of, you think it's wasteful, I think it's a valuable program, and the same things in the other direction. And I think the message of the primaries generally across the country was people are worried and they're casting about. And some of them may go in the right direction, some in the wrong direction, but that's clearly the sentiment. And what happens in 6 weeks, I don't know, and conventional wisdom is that the in party, in this case it's the Democrats in both the House and the Senate, lose seats. But you know, whether they lose enough to lose control, I don't know. If they lose some seats, you've got partisan gridlock anyways. So I'm not sure it makes all that much difference who controls it. It's just going to be more gridlock. The closer it is, the more difficult it is to pass legislation. And the public's not happy with the legislation that's been passed. Every poll shows that. Maybe the good bills, maybe the bad bills, but the public doesn't like them. And
is the whole thing ballooned too large, government in general?
Well, you know, it's, yes, but that started back in the 20s, 30s. In the 30s, maybe, with Roosevelt, that's when, if you go back and look, at big percentage increases ever since. And the other thing, incidentally, it is very easy to criticize, but an awful lot of things that work well. You know, my mother always says the good old days weren't the good old days. You remember the corruption in New York City. Today, the very little, if any. I'm sure there's some, but it's minor things. In the case of the federal government helping and the economy, there are plenty of people that are unemployed. I just know about New York City. New York City, our unemployment rate is lower than that of the country. It's come down 7 months in a row. We talked about job creation. 10% of all the private sector jobs, not public sector jobs, 10% of all the private sector jobs in the country were created right here in New York City. And we created all the jobs on balance in the state right here in New York City. And so, you know, the government, whether it's federal, both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, both sides of the aisle, or state government, or city government, they're not doing a terrible job. Could they do better? Sure. And, you know, you listen to the president, and he's trying, and I think, you know, we've got to all rally around him. I've said, if you don't like the president, the time to worry about that is the last year of his administration. But in the meantime, we all want to help, and we've just got to make this government work. And saying no to everything is just not a solution to the problem. And when I was down in Washington 2 days ago, I met with the leadership, both sides of the aisle, and I said, you know, just, you got to have, each side blames the other. The public wants them to work together.
What'd you make of, I know a man that you thought very highly of, Adrian Fenty, the mayor of Washington, losing in the primary?
Very sad. I thought he did a great job, supported education reform in a city where, I think before he came in, something like 20% of the kids...
Is there something to be read into this, without education?
I don't live down there. The Washington Post said... No, that it's not was not a referendum on education. This was a referendum on Adrian's style and how he campaigned, and he should have done something different. And the fact that he lost says, yeah, sure, thank you, as my kids would say. Of course he should have done something different. He's a classy guy, hardworking guy, honest guy, and Michelle Rhee was the right person. I don't know the new mayor-elect Gray, but I'll get to know him, and I hope that he will continue on with these reforms, because these kids need an education, and they need a good education if they're ever going to get good jobs.
What did you learn about the 9/11 Health Fund when you were in Washington?
Met with Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi, met with John Mahner, and I think the ways to phrase it in both sides, constructive talks, tried to make the case. I was honored to get a chance to speak on the steps of Congressional Building with all of the leadership, both sides of the aisle, House and Senate. I was around, so they asked me to come, and then they let me speak. Didn't say the wrong things. I hadn't thought about it before I got up there, because I just all of a sudden I said speak. Oh, fine. My argument is to make the case that this is a national problem, and that the public has to. We are immensely grateful for the help we got from around the country right after 9/11, and this is something we can't do totally on our own. And I think both sides are sympathetic. The problem is, how do you pay for it?
Exactly. So let's talk about New York City and the fire department and the new probies and a new class and the testing that will have to go on, or the quotas that are being required by the judge.
Well, so far the judge has not ordered us to put in racial quotas. The judge has said that if we want to hire a class, fundamentally, I think you can say what he said was there would be quotas. He went about it, gave you five options, but everyone, if you sat back and said to a normal person who wasn't reading legalese, there were quotas. But he hasn't ordered us to do that. Chicago is under orders to do exactly that, hire with quotas. In the city, the judge has said, and we're before him today, he said, if you hire a class, you have to do quotas. But we don't have to hire a class. And what can you do if you don't have a class? Well, you can spend a lot more money on overtime, which we don't have. You can close firehouses, which I don't want to do. You could lay off people in other agencies to get the money to pay for the existing number of firefighters to do the job. But to go and to hire people with quotas...
You don't want to open that Pandora's box.
John, in my heart of hearts, I've always believed the color of your skin shouldn't make any difference. And I watched Nick Scapetta, and I worked with him for 8 years, doing everything we could to diversify the fire department, and the bottom line is we just could never get, we were making progress, but we never got as diverse a group applying And if you had a big, diverse group applying, you would have diversity in the results coming out the other end. We worked with schools. We had companies give us advertising, content, and creative, and distribution pro bono. We worked very hard. And to accuse the fire department of being racist is just not fair. Just not fair. And it wasn't. And, you know, I want to make sure that if my kids are in that building, I want the best trained, smartest firefighter that we can possibly have coming through that door, because you never know what's going to be on the other side. And this argument that, well, if you get a certain percentage on the test, that's good enough. I don't believe that. I think you get the you test, and it should be generally fundamentally an IQ test, because you can train people that you put number 3 foam on a number 7 oil fire, whatever it is. But you want the smartest person you can. There's a physical requirement as well. I want the best person take from the top of the list, period, regardless of their ethnicity. We're playing with people's lives here, and we're playing with what I think one of the basic tenets of America. That everybody has equal opportunity, and it's not a system where we demand equal results. It's a fundamentally equal opportunity is the way the Constitution reads to me. And if other people, if the courts interpret it differently, I don't know what our options are or what I would do.
You know, in listening to this and reading what the judge is asking you to do, and I'm not sure everybody understands, or if even the judge understands what he's asking you to do, it seems to not benefit the people. The people are the ones. The population of New York City are put at some risk.
The judge probably would say that that's not his responsibility. His responsibility is to interpret the law. That's what judges typically say and typically do, and that's fine. That's the way the system is designed. And if Congress or a city council or a state legislature passes a stupid law, judge says, hey, ain't my problem. Go talk to your legislature. And conservatives typically don't want courts to legislate. Of course, they don't like it when the judge interprets a stupid law literally, and it's not something they're in favor of, but regardless, you know, that's my job, is to do what's right for the public and to do something that I can personally live with.
All right, Mr. Mayor, let me take my final break here, and looks as though we got our phones up and working, so we've got some questions from our listeners. 9 minutes before 9 o'clock. 4 minutes before 9 o'clock. Apologize for any inconvenience on the telephones. Mr. Mayor, we're going to go right to line number 6 right here, which is Bill. Bill, you've got the mayor. Go. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, hi. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
Mayor, wonderful work we're doing with the smoking policy and the education that's going around. I have a pet project I'd like you to consider, and that is, I think the general public and a lot of city employees do not appreciate what storm drains, which are throughout the city, of course, are for, and how we should not be pouring paint, changing our
Oil. Bill, you're 100% right. That stuff gets, it's hard to get out, because remember, all this water goes through our waste treatment plants, and eventually the water gets back into the system,
yeah.
Into the water. People should just not use oil and that kind of stuff. You can call the city, we'll figure out a way. It's called 311, they'll tell you how to dispose of it, but you don't pour it down the drains. Couldn't agree more with you.
All right, Bill, thanks for the telephone call. This is Damien. Damien, you've got the mayor's ear. Go.
Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
And I'm just thinking about the smoking, the possibility of a smoking ban in public parks. Now, they sell hot dogs in public parks, and they're bad for you.
Well, you know, they may be bad for you, but I will say
they're tasty, right?
Yeah, they're tasty. I think one of the answers, though, Damien, is if you eat a hot dog, and let's assume, and I'm not willing to admit that it is, but let's assume that it's bad for you. It doesn't hurt anybody else. Whereas if you smoke, the guy next door, sitting next to you or walking by, he or she, they do get the smoke in their lungs. So it is a fundamental difference. And as long as you want to hurt your health, and I eat hot dogs, I love them, if that's not great for me, that's okay, but it's my decision. I'm only doing damage to myself, but thank you for your call.
All right, but didn't you have the British Prime Minister? You served in one of those.
We both had a hot dog outside of Penn Station, as I remember. He said it was good.
Jim,
it was strange for him, but
yeah,
for me.
I would think so. Jim, it's your turn with Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Hi.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. I own New York City general obligation bonds, and I was wondering how safe are they for the principal and the interest?
Well, the city's doing very well, but in terms of, there's all sorts of legal stuff that you can and can't say in terms of the bonds, so I better not say that. You know, there's, you can read the prospectus, and if and you can get, there are reports on the safety. I feel very good about the city's future, and I feel very good about our having a balanced budget, and we're going to have some tough times to get to it, but we've acted fiscally responsible or not, fiscally responsible in times, but you, I think when you sell bonds, you own, the city's only supposed to say what's in the prospectus, so I probably basically can't answer the question.
Fran, I have less than a minute. I'm gonna hijack your question and ask the mayor about the polling situation. I have to tell you, the excuses that the Board of Election gave for the mess up in places, that they didn't have enough time to plan.
There's no excuse for this. This is disenfranchising America. There's no accountability here. It's a plain and simple, a political thing. Republicans and Democrats have split the power. A third of the people are independent. They get pushed out. These people are incompetent is a nice way.
Will the machines be fixed by November?
I have no idea. If you look at what they've done so far, you should worry.
Okay, Mr. Mayor. Good to see you again. We'll see you next Friday. Thank you, everybody. Again, apologize for the phone issues earlier on in the program. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Don't forget on...